Thanks for inviting me into your home, long haul truck, RV, camper, taxi, your parents' well-appointed rec room, with the electric fireplace, the bumper pool table, and that painting of dogs playing poker, your loft, that greasy spoon just off the interstate, and your cabin in the woods. Welcome to Coast AM, the best in late night radio. I'm Richard Serrett, filling in for the intrepid George Knapp, and tonight, this morning, we're coming to you live from Coast's Toronto affiliate, In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010. Speaking of George Knapp, today marks the 30th anniversary of George Knapp's original interview with Area 51 whistleblower Bob Lazar. Interestingly, what Lazar described back in 1989 bears some resemblance to properties of UFOs in the Pentagon videos released in 2017 and the possible use of mysterious metamaterials. You can see the 30th anniversary special report in the highlight carousel up at coasttocoastam.com, where webmaster Lex Lonehood has posted that and other tantalizing tidbits. You or someone you know may cause unexplained electric disturbances, perhaps to electronic devices, appliances, watches, even other people. Maybe you drain batteries. Such rarefied folks are sometimes referred to as sliders, an acronym of sorts, standing for street lamp interference. You're a slider if street lights seem to come on or pop off whenever you walk by. We're going to dedicate the last 3 hours of tonight's program to try and find some answers and maybe get a little closer to the truth as to why high voltage individuals are the way they are. You'll want to stick around for my conversation with C.J. Romer, paranormal researcher and member of the ASSAP. That's the Association for the Scientific Study of Anomalous Phenomena. You may find it stimulating and, dare I say, shocking. Sorry, that's low-hanging fruit. I had to do it. Coming up next, when you think of the austere and esteemed Oxford University, you might think of some of its famous graduates, T.S. Eliot, Oscar Wilde, C.S. Lewis, Stephen Hawking, Indira Gandhi, Benazir Bhutto, Theresa May. Had any of these students attended a certain lecture by an Oxford professor back in 2012, I can't imagine how they would have reacted. Some may have stormed out. Some might have snickered derisively. Some may have stayed right to the end and asked pointed questions. The topic of that lecture, now this is Oxford University, remember, was that bug-like aliens walk among us, and they're having very close encounters with humans, interbreeding, in fact, to create a new hybrid species that could one day save Earth from climate change and other disasters. Dr. Young-hae Chi is an instructor in Korean at Oxford's Oriental Institute, and he's coming up next. You now have entered the audio imaginarium. Come on in, weary traveler. Hang your cloak on a peg, grab a stool, and come gather round the fire. There are stories to be told, and you are among friends. I'm Richard Serrett, sitting in for George Knapp. This is Coast to Coast AM. Why don't you stay a while? Dr. Young-hae Chi is a professor at Oxford University who claims extraterrestrials walk among us and says they're having very close encounters with humans. He believes in a strong correlation between climate change and alien abductions, and says that it is not only scientists and theologians, but also non-human species who appear to be greatly concerned about the survivability of the human species. He is the author of Alien Visitations and the End of Humanity. Dr. Chi, welcome to Coast AM. How are you, sir?
Well, good. I'm very honored to be invited by you and have opportunity to talk to your audience. And I'm very grateful for that.
Let me go back to 2012. And I want to ask you why you delivered that lecture, given you're you're a language instructor, correct?
Exactly.
Right. So what would lead a language instructor, someone who is on the faculty of the Oriental Studies at Oxford University to talk about, to lecture about aliens.
Well, before I answer to your question, may I make a small statement? I'm doing this interview entirely in a private capacity, not in the capacity of a member of Oxford University, where I'm teaching at the moment. So I want to make it clear that any views, arguments, or opinions expressed here are entirely my own and do not represent any opinions of the university in any way.
Well,
I'm not quite sure whether the university has any opinions on this issue. Anyway, that's what I want to make it clear.
All right, understood. Thank you.
Yeah. To your question, why did I deliver that speech in 2012? Well, I mean, the question of whether aliens are visiting us, it doesn't belong to any academic discipline, so anybody can look at that issue. So, and personally, I've been looking at this issue for the last 20 years. As a kind of a matter of private hobby. I presented my findings in my Amash 2012 speech. Amash is a kind of a mutual support group among UK abductees. So it was purely from my personal interest in this very important issue.
Right. And the title of the lecture was Alien Abduction and the Environmental Crisis.
That's correct. Yeah.
Right. Now, what was the reaction at Oxford? Did they have an opinion one way or the other? Were they concerned? Were they amused? How did they react?
Well, there was no reaction because it was delivered not in Oxford, but was in a town called Nottingham. And it was not noticed very much by the university. And even if the university had heard anything about it, I don't think the university had any official opinion about that because I was delivering the speech in a private capacity. So, well, I would be interested in hearing how the university would react. So far, there was definitely no reaction about that.
Since that lecture, I mean, I think fairly recently, though, you have you were asked to speak with the newspaper, the Oxford Student, regarding your theory, correct?
Yeah, yes.
And since that publication, has there been any other further reaction?
Well, the publication of the news, I mean, I have more reaction from abroad, I mean, abroad outside the UK than inside the UK, and there's no reaction yet from the university. But the university has asked me to basically separate my activity from my teaching, formal teaching in the university. So I agreed to do that. So far, there's been no kind of interaction between me and the university.
All right. So let's get to the hypothesis here, or there are hypotheses, several. The idea that we are, and many people would agree, undergoing some sort of an environmental crisis here on the planet, and that there is a connection or a correlation between the environmental a degradation that is going on planet Earth and encounters with aliens, whether we're talking about abductions or other types of alien encounters, correct?
Yes.
So let's talk about, let me get you to elaborate on your views about, for example, the types of aliens that we are interacting with. You say there are four types. Let's talk about those to begin with.
Well, I just chose four types as most frequently reported types. And I heard also from my research subjects, I mean, those abductees, about other types as well, but most frequently reported types are those one insect-like alien, which is quite, in many cases, menacing, particularly to female, that is. That's what I hear again and again from UK abattoirs and French abattoirs and German abattoirs. So it seems there's a certain commonality between abattoirs' experiences about the characteristics of those insect-like aliens. And secondly, it is common, very common gray aliens. I mean, I'm sure you know about this. Most of my research subjects report about seeing a gray alien, a small gray alien just standing by their bedroom. And slightly tall gray aliens, when they go to, when they are abducted into the UFO, they see them. And also reptilians, but it's very relatively is rare to see reptilians, but occasionally they see reptilians moving around or standing together with small aliens. So these are the four types most frequently observed. But there are also slightly varied humanoid forms. Okay, so also the human-looking aliens inside the UFOs, they also report them.
Now, what led you to conclude that the purpose of these encounters, and we'll talk about in addition to the abductions, some of the experimentation perhaps is going on, but what led you to conclude that these encounters are connected to things like climate change or environmental degradation?
Well, the first conclusion I made was UFOs really exist, and they are driven by intelligent beings. Intelligent beings here, I mean non-human intelligent beings. And the question I asked was, why are they coming to us? And there must be a reason. I mean, intelligent beings act not purposelessly, they act with a purpose. And what do they want from us? And the second observation is they abduct human beings and they do some kind of biological experimentation. And they seem to be clearly producing some kind of hybrid. Then why are they doing this? And I noticed that the timing of their appearance, well, obviously, there are a number of evidences that they visited humanity prior to mid-20th century. But I think in terms of statistics, they began to visit us massively from mid-20th century. That is around the 1940s, 1950s. The time happens to be when we began to have problems with our environment. We began to emit CO2 massively into our atmosphere, and we began to see catastrophic impact of what we are doing on our ecosystem. So I could see some kind of clear correlation between the two. And also, it's around the time when we began to invent massive destructive weapons, like nuclear weapons. That is around 1940s and 50s. So this kind of ominous development were actually, they happened when we have massive reports of UFOs and aliens coming to us. And not only that, if you interview abductees, they frequently report about aliens warning to them about the impending demise of humanity because we are not looking after our planet properly. For example, you may have heard about the UFO landing incident near Ariel Primary School in Gua, Zimbabwe. I think that happened in 1994.
Oh, this was witnessed by the school children.
Exactly. About 62 school children. And one of them was given a telepathic message about the future of humanity. And then what the child heard from the one of the two aliens standing around the UFO was the world will have no trees and will have no fresh air to breathe because and all the trees will die because of the catastrophic consequence of the environmental crisis and climate change. And this kind of reports are from everywhere. I heard so many times from the abductees about this impending demise of our ecological system. So given all these clear development, I made a conclusion that the visitation of alien intelligence to us has something to do with what we are doing to ourselves, the potential self-destruction and the potential destruction of the environmental system here.
One of your conclusions, one of your conclusions, Dr. Chi, was that there is a hybrid, a human-alien hybrid program going on. What did you base that conclusion on? Just the reports of abductees? Did you rely on, let's say, some of the work of Dr. David Jacobs? How did you arrive at that?
Both. I have my own research with the UK, with the British abductees and German and French. And also I heard, although the number of cases is relatively small, I heard the same thing from Japanese women. These hybrid projects seems to be common. And I also have been working with Dr. David Jacobs, and we discussed about this. We also had a regression hypnosis with the UK operatives here in Britain, and we heard the same thing. So it's from both research results from my colleague and also my own. And of course, the aliens may have other projects. They seem to be taking animals for some kind of biological genetic experimentation, but I do not know what they are doing with animals, but clearly manipulating with human genes. And production of hybrids is clearly one of their major goals, I suppose.
We're approaching the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a time out in about 2 minutes. But let me just ask you now, and then we can get into it in more depth after the break. But the question would be, well, how do they feel, the aliens, how do they rationalize that that creating alien-human hybrids will somehow affect the environment or improve the environment? What is the relationship between the hybrid program and the environment?
Well, the fact that they are producing hybrids is what I would like to say. I'm quite confident about that. About the relationship between the production of hybrids and the environmental threat is a conjecture. It's purely a speculation. And I need to look at this issue more in detail. I'm collecting more evidences to have any clear idea about this. But you can think of three possibilities. But first, you have to ask, now, where are all they? I mean, those hybrids produced so far, because we don't see them around us. Although Dr. Jacob is arguing that they are actually working among us, but I haven't heard any reports from my research subjects about that. So I left it undecided, so I have to actually look at more in detail about that. But you can actually hypothesize three scenarios. One, they may have transferred those hybrids to another planet or another space. Why?
Dr. Chi, pardon the interruption. We're gonna step away. We'll revisit these three hypotheses when we come back. Dr. Chi, Oxford University professor, who says aliens are among us and they are here to help save us from environmental degradation. We'll take a time out. Peter Gabriel taking us into the break with Salisbury Hill here on Coast to Coast AM. Sitting in for George Knapp and coming to you live from Coast's Toronto, Canada affiliate, In-Depth Radio News Talk 1010. Say hello on Twitter at Richard Serrett, S-Y, because I love you, R-E-T-T. Earlier this week, Victor Vescovo became the first underwater explorer to reach the deepest part of the Pacific Ocean, the Mariana Trench. His submersible reached a record-breaking depth of 7 miles below the surface when it risked possible implosion had equipment malfunctioned. Vescovo spent 4 hours exploring the bottom of the trench and recording video, and you can see some of that video in the highlight carousel up at coasttocoastam.com. And we will come back with more of my conversation with Professor Chi from Oxford University as we continue to discuss alien visitations and the end of humanity right here on Coast to Coast AM. We are back with Dr. Younghae Chi, professor at Oxford University's Oriental Studies Institute, and he says extraterrestrials are here, they walk among us, and they're having very close encounters with humans. In fact, interbreeding with us, creating alien-human hybrids, and he says there is a strong correlation between this activity and climate change. And you began to tell us about these three hypotheses you have as to why they are creating hybrids. Go ahead.
Yes, let me continue. So the first scenario is just to create hybrids in order to preserve our DNA and transfer those hybrids to another planet. That is one scenario. I don't think this is perhaps is feasible, because I don't think the aliens really want to give up this planet. And there is a reason that I think in this way. I don't believe aliens are from far away, stars in our galaxy or in our universe, and I think they are living together with us, next to us. That's why I believe aliens are not really giving up, human species. The second scenario may be the hybrids are produced as a problem solver. They might massively reveal their identity at a critical moment when we really need somebody else's help to solve our own problem. If this scenario is to be true, then we must assume the hybrids must be in possession of exceptional skills, intelligence, and perhaps even ability to garner respect from human species, because they must act as a leader, as a problem solver. One small problem with this scenario is by now we must be seeing that kind of group emerging among us, but we don't see them not yet. Well, they may be working among us, but we have to have clear evidence about that. The third scenario is perhaps the hybrids are a new species. I don't know whether we can call them human species or whatever. We have been creating all these problems to our planet. Human beings are emotional, impulsive, greedy, irrational, and prone to war and to destruction. So perhaps the aliens are producing these hybrids as a kind of a new species, who will occupy the earth, and they may have greater adaptability to harsher environmental conditions so that they can survive better than present human species. Whereas aliens are doing this, replacing the existing human species with the new ones very silently. Imagine, I mean, we all know the scientists have been replacing the existing type of corns with genetically modified corns. We might be phased out, I mean, when I said we as a present human species, might be phased out gradually and silently and replaced by these new species. So the third scenario is also feasible, and perhaps personally, I believe the third scenario is what is happening. But as I said at the very beginning, this is all pure speculation.
Right.
So we need to wait to see more evidence about this.
So let me just recap and then sort of drill down on each of these hypotheses. So one possibility is that they find our DNA valuable for the preservation of the stock, perhaps of their stock as well. Perhaps, in other words, together, the hybrid will be better suited to survive, you know, the change in climate and so forth. Second...
Well, the first one is... Yeah, okay, good, yeah.
Okay. Secondly, they want to create a species that has greater...
As a problem solver.
As a problem solver and perhaps even greater moral capacity.
Yes.
So that we will start treating the planet better.
Well the first one, hybrids perhaps have been already transported to another planet, and aliens have a plan to give up this planet. The second one is hybrids are designed to solve the problem at a critical moment in the future. Thirdly, hybrids are replacing the existing human species. So they will occupy this planet as a new residents of this planet. And they may have a greater adaptability to harsher environmental conditions. And they are the gist of the three scenarios.
Now, if they are interested in preserving humankind, but only as in a hybrid form, why don't they just simply, if they have greater intelligence, if they have the technology, why don't they simply solve the problem holus bolus without all of this this interaction and hybridization? Why do they need to interbreed if they have the technology to simply solve the problem on their own?
Well, that's very interesting but very difficult question to answer. But this space is occupied by human species. I mean, they occupy different space. They can't do anything on our behalf. So things must be perhaps done by us or by somebody that can fill in this space. When I said this space is this Earth space, and this is much more complex than it appears to be. They seem to be occupy a neighboring space. I don't think they are from far away, really, stars in far away in our galaxy or in our universe. There is, I believe, a kind of a space where we can't reach because we don't see them. We don't have any ability to reach their space. It is not a kind of a mysterious fifth dimension, the kind that other UFO researchers have been talking about or scientists have been talking about. But it is extension of our third dimension space. As if we can't reach, or fish in the oceans cannot reach our land, although it is connected. Our space is bordered with their space, but we can't go there, although they can come into our space with UFOs. So different species occupy different spaces, and the problems we have created in this space should be solved in our own way, following our own physical laws and dimension laws. So they can't directly solve our problems from their space. They must have something, they must produce somebody, some agents who can solve this problem.
I think you referred to this as the comprehensive biosphere theory, the idea that we share this biosphere with them. As you say, they are not extraterrestrials in the sense that they are coming from some far distant galaxy to interact with us. They are here. They are breathing the same air. They are being negatively impacted by the climate change. That's why they are choosing to act. And you're saying that we can't see them because we are limited by our sensory perception.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Dr. Chi, would you be willing to take a call or two from our listeners?
Pardon?
Would you be willing to take some phone calls, questions and comments from listeners?
Well, yes, definitely, yes.
All right, why don't we do that then? We'll start with Brenda is checking in from New Mexico. Brenda, good evening. Welcome to Coast AM.
Gentlemen, thank you so much. Fascinating show tonight.
Well, thank you.
I have a comment for you, Dr. Chi, if you'd consider something. This correlates so well with the Bible interchangeably about chapter 6 in Genesis, where the 200 fallen angels came down, took humans as wives, and they interbred with them, as well as changing plant and animal DNA, and interchangeably at that too. And so then it also says in Genesis chapter 6, as in the days of Noah, so shall the last days be. And I really believe that these things are walking among us. There are reptilian minds. It talks about that in the Bible too. And I wanted to know what your thoughts on all this is.
So I couldn't hear you clearly towards the end. You want to know, could you say that again, please?
I would like to know what your thoughts on that scenario,
on the Bible.
Yes, that the days are actually maybe more of an angelic, the fallen angels, instead of the aliens as we might be looking at.
Well, I haven't trained as a theologian. The problem with the account of the sons of fallen angels having, you know, relationship with human females, human daughters, we can see that kind of myth almost everywhere, not only in the Middle Eastern myth, but also in the Far Eastern, because it seems to me the human society has some kind of passion for finding, you know, the root of their existence in a heavenly kind of, you know, connection. So you see interbreeding between human beings and heavenly beings, whether they are fallen or good, are actually very universal around the world. So whether that interbreeding of fallen angels and the humans, you know, human daughters is actually historical or not, there's no way to check it. It is as a kind of archetypal model is possible, but I don't connect, I don't include all those, you know, biblical accounts of what happened a long time ago into my research, because it's not possible to test it and to prove it. So I just want to take it as a story.
Brenda, thank you for that. Dr. Chi, if somehow humanity is able to come together and avert or ameliorate some of this environmental degradation, would you then suspect or expect to see further, let's say, UFO activity, further abductions?
Well, I mean, if I strictly follow my theory, then it should stop, or the less lessen the frequency of their visitation. But we have not only environmental problems, but also political crisis. The problems we face is huge, really. It's a collapse of the whole social, political, economic, environmental system. It is all interconnected. I'm not quite sure whether we have any ability to rectify this problem, whether we have ability to return the whole things to pre-industrial revolution level of kind of stability. So I don't think we can solve this problem, and the aliens' activities will continue to be seen around us.
So it's not only environmental degradation, they're also concerned about nuclear weapons.
Nuclear weapons, and the East has not always with us. The nuclear threat has gone away, never even a second from us. So really, the future is not that bright.
I've always wondered about this because I'm familiar with reports of UFO incursions over nuclear sites in the United States, nuclear bases and so forth. But I've always wondered, where were the aliens when the United States dropped bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945? Why didn't they interact or intercede there?
Well, frankly, I don't have any answer to the question, but perhaps they leave things to us. I don't think they want to directly intervene in one or two particular cases of a crisis. They might want to devise a systematic approach. In other words, they might want to change the whole system, whole basis, biological basis of our civilization. Intervening in one or two particular cases may not solve the problem. The humanity will continue to do foolish things to ourselves. So that may not be a solution. They may have an entirely different, very big picture as a kind of solution, like replacing the present human species by new one.
Let me try to work Brian in here from Indianapolis very quickly. Brian, we've just got about a minute here. Quickly, please.
Hey, good evening, guys. Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure.
I had a question for your guest there. We're talking about modern-day aliens, but we've had alien or some type of being from the sky all the way back at the dawn of time. So if it's environmental-related, why were they back then? And the frequency doesn't seem to have increased any, other than reporting through, internet and that kind of stuff.
Brian, good question. I'm going to get Dr. Chi in here just because we're tight on time, but thank you for the question. Dr. Chi, has it intensified the interaction?
I think so. I mean, if you look at the records in the past, you see their visitation, but it is not that frequent. I mean, the frequency of visitation is remarkable from the mid-20th centuries, around the 1940s and 50s. So we see clear kind of division in terms of frequency. So that's why I'm relating the alien visitation with what began to happen from the 20th century, which is nuclear weapons invention and then environmental problems.
Dr. Chi, how do people get a hold of Alien Visitations and the End of Humanity? I understand that was written in Korean. Is it also available in English?
No, it is not yet translated. So it is now being rewritten. It was co-authored. I'm rewriting, taking the gist of the book and with some new findings since then. I mean, it was published about 4 years ago.
All right. Dr. Chi, thank you so much for spending some time with us. I hope we'll talk again.
Thank you.
All right, when we come back, sliders, electric people, high voltage individuals.